Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Reality Podcast. This brown-skinned beauty started off as a VJ, but today she's a CEO, host, singer, actress, and overall boss woman. You get no points for guessing. We're talking about the queen herself, Anusha Dandekar, who is from a family of the most talented, beautiful, and strong sisters there could be. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Anusha. I've honestly been a fan since the very beginning, and your journey of beginning brown skin beauty has been so inspiring. We can't wait to hear from the queen at the helm.
Oh my God, that's such a nice introduction. Can we just like keep that and I can take it wherever I go?
Yes, for sure. So
nice. Thank you so much. It was really special. Thank you so much.
Everything you genuinely meant.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. Thank you.
Perfect. So let's dive right into it. So, you know, I had to start off by starting with brown skin beauty. I know you just put on the lotion, which is amazing. Exactly.
Yeah, she actually caught me red-handed. I was like, oh, yes, in the middle of just applying that on my hands and my face.
Exactly. So, you know, in a world where we've grown up watching fair and lovely advertisements and where dark is not beauty, but fair is, how difficult was it for you to craft up this very much needed vision for brown skin beauty? And what was the biggest challenge?
Well, thanks for asking that question. I think it's a really important conversation to have. And I think the first thing that I want to start by saying is that it wasn't just the word dark, it was the word. It was the word brown that was looked at as a bad word in our country. And I thought that was really fascinating and, of course, offensive. Since we are all a shade of brown, it didn't make any sense that we thought our own color was a bad color. You know what I mean? And I think, obviously, growing up in Australia as a brown girl and knowing the difference only after when I was kind of aware and I got a bit bullied, I didn't see anyone as different. I thought all human beings were just the same, a little naive little girl. But actually, I think that naivety is innocent and beautiful. And I think that's the way we should all actually think. Until you get bullied and experience something, you don't realize anything is different, because that's the innocence of a child, right? And I think that's the mindset we want to take it back to, right? And so when I came to India, I thought, okay, I'm amongst my own, you know, this will be so much easier. And it was actually just even worse, if I may say, you know, and being on MTV and having all these contestants stand in front of me and cry and say, I get bullied in my family, at college, in school, because I'm a darker shade, they tell me I won't be able to get married. I mean, all these horrible things that you should never tell anybody, because first of all, it should never be true. And secondly, the fact that we create this narrative and then adapt to it and believe it so wholly that, oh my God, there must be something wrong with me. That is just got to stop. And so I guess in my subconscious, I'm just watching and observing and sponging it all in. And I know that I always wanted to do this. It was just a question of, do you have time? And I guess I took the pandemic time as like that blessing that, okay, you have a minute here. Let's do this. And so my partner and I, he was in Mumbai, I was in LA, and we just started creating rapidly. And we had so much time that it was is actually beautiful, but we were working 24 hours because I was in LA and he was here. So we weren't sleeping, but it was so amazing because I didn't have to go for a shoot. I mean, obviously I love doing all of that, but I'm going to take the blessings that I got, which is time. And I got to create this brand really quickly. Brown Skin Beauty, the name just came straight to me. Whatever you're brown, it's beautiful, has always been a tagline I wanted to go by. And yeah, I just felt really, really good about what we were doing. And finally, this gap. And it wasn't a small gap. It was this massive hole in the beauty industry, because who are we selling to? Like maybe 0.5% of the country, maybe less. And we're telling them that you're the only people that can be part of this beauty industry and the rest, sorry, let's keep it to the side. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. I won't take it. I won't accept it. And so, yeah, we dropped by November. It's been almost over a year now. It's been the most incredible journey. And for me, I think more than obviously our products are good, they're really good and I use them and I love them, the packaging is glass. And let me tell you, yes, sustainability is incredible, the environment we love, but our margins are less, but that didn't matter. Do you know what I mean? It didn't matter because, look, if we're going to do something and we're going to say we stand for something and we believe in something and we believe in being inclusive, we don't just talk about skin color. We talk about all of it, the environment, cruelty-free, vegan, and, you know, all of it. So we did all of this and I was feeling so good about all of it. Affordability, right? Yeah. We also wanted to bring in not just like, oh, okay, you know, you're a certain class now. That's it. No, we want everyone to have this experience. So when you buy it, it also feels premium, right? So all of that, but the best part about it is for me, and I've been in tears of joy, is when girls message and say, I can look in the mirror and I feel beautiful now. Yeah. And that's all that really matters. Like, why is it okay that people or even industry or magazines or anything, anywhere, get to dictate why you should feel beautiful?
Yeah.
This should not be a cookie cutter society where this is the only thing that's beautiful. Everybody has the right to feel that way. And I'm glad that we have a little part to play.
I think, you know, a little goes a long way. Whoever said that said it very rightly. And just the passion with which, you know, I can hear you speak about it speaks volumes. Because, you know, like you said, for me being based in Hong Kong, for yourself as well, growing up in Australia, you would think that these places that are first foreign to us, you know, India is always going to be home, would be a lot more unwelcoming of you or would treat you a certain way. But it's just so sad when you go back to the country you call home and you see it's actually so much worse there. That's when you kind of realize that, unfortunately, we are warping ourselves around what others expect of us. And, you know, I love that you started this in India, of most places, because there, when you go to, you know, say, buy makeup, even if they don't have your shade, they're like, oh, sorry, take this lighter one and just make it work. But that's not what it should be. I'm in a country where this is the color of our skin. Yeah. We should be proud of this.
So. I also think we have very... innate way of like drawing ourselves to what the outside world is doing. We're really now getting to this place like made in India by Indians. It's a really proud feeling and I love that, and it's not our fault, you know. I don't blame anybody for having those emotions, right? Our emotions were misplaced and misguided, right? We were told outside is better. That's not true. India's amazing. India's great. We are wonderful and beautiful and intelligent. And now we have all these wings to fly and do whatever we want. And I think that's the time that we should really embrace it and enhance it. And remember that we're not telling anybody to change. We're enhancing your beauty. Mm-hmm. Where we're just giving it a little boost and confidence and whatever. And so I think that's the most important messaging in this very, very filtered culture across the globe, and this full-on makeup and let's change how we look. And, you know, I wanted to start the hashtag filter-free culture.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you have. I know it's definitely taken social media by storm. I've heard it many a times. I know you won the award as well. And your description as part of that was the fact that not only do you stand for filter free, but you yourself are filter free, which I think is
They said that on stage as well. Maybe.
That's awesome, right? That's great.
Sure. I love it.
So you've grown up, you know, down under in Australia, but then you moved to Mumbai to build your career at the age of 19, if I'm not wrong, which is absolutely awesome. And, you know, for a lot of our listeners, and that was just 2 years ago for me. So being
You're a baby.
So 21 now. So what advice or message would you want to give to 19-year-old Anusha?
Oh my God, I think that 19-year-old should give me advice now. I was really proud of myself. You know, I am proud of myself today, but I think I was even prouder of myself then. If I look back, I was a fearless, completely confident, ambitious young kid who would not take no for an answer. Do you know what I mean? And if I really, I was also not delusional. You know, I had these goals and I worked really hard and I knew, okay, this is what I'm good at. I think I could be really good at this. So this is what I'm going to work towards. And so at the age of 9 years of age, actually, I set a goal saying I'm going to be an MTV VJ in India. I don't know why, I don't know how, but it happened. Yeah. And so, yeah, and I told everybody and I signed autographs for people. I was a little borderline obnoxious, but it's okay. I mean, you've got to have the intention, right? Yeah. To put it out there, the energy and the belief. And I feel like if you're doing it with complete and pure passion, it doesn't come across obnoxious. It comes across like, okay, this person really believes in themselves, right? And I did. And I, you know, I had braces and I remember I was leaving for India and these braces had just gone wrong like so many times. I had to keep them for 4 years. I had to go to my prom with braces, but I still won prom queen. So it's okay. But by the time I was leaving for India, I said to the orthodontist, I was like, oh, you have to take my braces off. He's like, yeah, when you're back. And I said, no, I'm going to be on TV. You have to do it now. I didn't know I was going to be on TV. I just said it. Yeah. So all of these things, I just kept putting that energy out there. And honestly, when I got here, I went on the holiday. My braces were off. I still have it. And there's a bar here. Like
Yeah.
It's right there. That was put in at that time when I was 19, because he said, your bottom teeth aren't ready. And I never went home
on TV
for 3 years. So when I went back to him after 3 years, he was like, I can't take it off now. So it stuck with me for life, but I kind of like it. It's a reminder of the confidence, right? So anyway, so I continued this holiday and I ended up modeling for MTV Style Check on my holiday. So I was on TV, so I didn't lie to the orthodontist. I didn't know. And it just happened to be for MTV. And the producer said to me, you know, you should audition for the Vijay Hunt. And I turned around and I said, well, that's what I'm here for. Like as if, you know, the entire universe was just working towards bringing me here. So I auditioned, 11,000 people auditioned apparently. And I was the highest voted. And, you know, I think that 19-year-old and the 9-year-old, I have to keep tapping back into that. Because as we get older, I think societal pressure, this constant overthinking and this constant like fear of, oh my God, I'm getting to a certain age. Should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? I tell everybody out there, I just turned 40 and I don't think anybody in the industry even talks about their age, which is fair enough, each to their own. I just want to tell everybody that it's not scary. It's okay. And everyone should just do what makes them happy, because the happier you are, honestly, the healthier and the more drive you'll have to do what you want.
For sure. And I think, you know, everything you said is about manifestation. I totally hear you because I'm a huge believer of it as well. So, you know, every now and then I'll say things and I don't know if it'll ever happen, but it's just, you know, there's no harm in putting it out there. And,
yeah,
I think, you know, unfortunately in India, you know, when I do have a lot of girlfriends there, but they're so scared of taking on these opportunities. So like you said, when people say things like these, they think, oh, you know, you're just too proud of yourself, or you think it's going to happen and it won't. I think I lost you there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you, but you're paused.
Yep, same for you. Is it me?
Oh. So we're both just frozen on the screen.
Yeah, oh, there we go. Yes, perfect. Yeah. So, yeah, like I was saying, you know, people, for example, I would say things like, I want to do this and I want to do that, which might seem, you know, very out of the way for me, but you would want the people closest to you to be like, yes, you got this, that'll happen for you. But instead they're like, no, that's too big of a goal. There's no way that'll happen. It's impossible. So I completely hear you. I think, you know, girls need to be picking each other up.
You know what? I also realized this. I don't know. I can't remember if anyone says, yeah, you could do it. I think they all thought I was just this crazy kid. And they were just like, yeah, let her just believe in her dream. I don't think my parents ever said no. But what they did was just like, kind of like, say, yeah, okay, it's a dream. She's a little 9-year-old. Yeah. The day they got the call saying, I won the Vijay Hunt, they were like, oh, what? It's like 4 a.m. in Australia. They're like, oh, God, this girl is so crazy. She actually went and did it. So be that crazy person. You don't need anyone to tell you you can.
Yeah.
Honestly, the world could tell you you can, but if you don't want to, it's not happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So please don't look for that recognition from anybody else. Just recognize yourself.
Very, very true. And so, you know, and then to think of your journey going from the 9-year-old you to then, you know, being a supermodel and even judging India's Next Top Model. So what was that entire experience like? Because there were so many girls who were there, right? They were young, looking up to you. So do you ever feel this type of pressure to have to live up to those expectations?
Honestly, I think I'm a little carefree about that stuff. I don't know if I feel pressure. I think the only pressure that can be put is on myself is by me. Yeah. And I do a lot of that anyway. I'm a Capricorn, you know, I have to like be the perfectionist. I think I put a lot of pressure on them. Like, come on, you could do it. Yeah. But I swear, honestly, all of these like India's Next Top Model, Supermodel of the Year, all these contests and competitions only taught me more about brown skin beauty more than anything, and how these girls just didn't feel good enough, some of them, because of the, you know, the shade of brown that they lived in and they live in. And I think what I took from that the most was that conversation, because it was so repetitive, right? Other than that, I think MTV as a whole for me and the experience I've had was always really uplifting and empowering. I got really lucky to be with a channel that was always forward thinking. You know, we had the first gay couple on Love School, which was unbelievable, because before that it was banned. It was not allowed. It was illegal. And so for us to say love wins didn't always feel right, because we weren't allowed to have everybody. And then suddenly we were, and that was like, oh, I'm so glad I got to be a part of that. Yeah. And when we did Supermodel of the Year, just our last season, we had the first trans supermodel as part of the competition. I want to be a part of those stories, and I got to do it. And even though I've been a part of it for over like almost two decades, I feel like, oh my God, I got to see so much. Mm-hmm. And like from the get-go, we were always ahead of the game, but we didn't stop being that. And that to me was amazing. So I think obviously growing up in that little circle also really helped me have my voice as well.
Yeah. Representing
me being so nice to MTV.
You're right. You should be like, I should get a cut for this.
Exactly. MTV, what?
Yeah. So back to brown skin beauty, you know, so it is the brainchild of yourself and Gaurav, who is your partner. And, you know, with entrepreneurship, a lot of times, I think everyone's heard this quote, 9 out of 10 startups or entrepreneurship ventures fail. And a huge part of that is because the team falls apart, or, you know, the people aren't on board with the same thing. So what's your favorite part of working with Gaurav, and what do you enjoy the most about being your own boss woman entrepreneur?
Okay, well, first, I know that this is sad that we have to say this, mm-hmm. because it shouldn't have to be said, but also I want to say it because I want to celebrate him. Yeah. But I love that he's a man that doesn't know the difference between a woman and a man, mm-hmm. you know? And, yeah. and I know that that is sad that we even have to explain that and talk about it, because it should just be a normal thing. Unfortunately, it's not right quite there yet, but that's Gaurav for you. You know, he's a person that doesn't look at you like, oh, you're the woman and I'm the man. And then, you know, it's a partnership. And he also understands how creative I am and what I want to do with the brand and how I feel about the brand and why it's such a deep rooted emotion for me, and all the beauty experience and fashion experience I've had in this industry. And he's not a person who will clip my wings. He'll just be like, okay, I trust you. Let's do this, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think that ultimate trust, which I have exactly the same in him when he talks about, you know, anything to do with, okay, we're going to take it, let's try in this direction in the marketing or the advertising or whatever. I think we have that faith in one another. You know, I have to tell you this, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but there was this whole range that I wanted to launch around November, okay, mm-hmm. October, November. And it was ready and it was great and it is great and it will be launched.
Yeah.
But suddenly, last minute, I was like, no, I this is wrong. It's not feeling right now. It's not for right now. I want to do something else. Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding. not even for a second did Gaurav say, okay, you're crazy, no chance. We've like literally got it all ready. It's ready to roll. Mm. He was like, okay, well, explain to me what's going on. And I said, okay, I know the beauty industry and I know that I need to do a winter collection and I want to do it like this. And I want this, this, this. We have gone to Delhi and we've spent weeks and weeks and months changing the whole entire thing. Yeah. And I'm not kidding. That's how Brown Bakery happened. I wanted that to come first. I hadn't even created it yet.
Oh my God.
And it's that faith that you would have in me to say, okay, you know what? Maybe she knows what she's talking about and I'm going to have to trust her. That partnership you don't find every day. And I am forever grateful that he had my back on it and we rolled with it. And Brown Bakery is amazing for the winter.
It is.
And yeah. So
yeah, really, yeah, because I was on the website and I saw it and I think, like you said, you know, that's the best way to market it as well, because when it's cold people don't really want to go out but you still want to care for yourself. And I have this thing of moisturizer being extra freezing cold when it comes out of the bottle when it's winter, so I completely hear you. I think that was on point branding.
so you know, and that's the kind of like camaraderie you need. And obviously the next collection that I've come up with, now we'll do it next, you know, but it's just that you've got to be on that kind of same wavelength.
For sure. Yeah. And this is how, for everyone listening, this is how you can be the 1 out of 10 entrepreneurship companies or startup companies that do succeed.
Thank you.
So with that, now it's on to my personal favorite part of the podcast. So this is where it's kind of like a rapid fire. So I'll ask you some fun questions. It'll start pretty easy, but I'll start getting a little tough as we go along. So we'll see how you fare. Are you ready?
Yes, because I haven't actually read any of this. I was sent it, but I didn't read it. So I know I'm a bit scared. Should I have?
No, I think you're good. I think it's best if you didn't read it. So that's great. Yeah.
I don't like, because, you know, you know, when people send stuff, I feel like I'm just going to overthink it or whatever. So I just rather just go in the dark. Yeah.
Which is, honestly, this is the best way to do it. We send it just so people aren't like, oh my God, are they going to ask me questions I can't answer? But then we want you not to read it so we can, you know, make sure it's organic. Okay.
Yeah.
So like I said, first few should be pretty easy. So the first one is straight hair or curly hair?
Beach waves.
Okay, nice between.
In between. I'm the middle child. I like the middle.
We will get to that. That's one of the questions too. Yeah. So sunrises or sunsets?
Depends who I'm with.
That's a good answer. So far none of the options we've given you fit. That's perfect. Okay. So if not Mumbai, which city would you call home?
LA. I would love to live there. Yes.
I'm obsessed with California and the US, so I feel you.
I mean, you can go hiking in the middle of the city. Like, yes, yeah. Please.
And then end with a really good coffee and really nice breakfast. So
I don't drink coffee, but breakfast, sure, we're down. Let's go.
Are you a matcha person then, if not coffee or no?
I don't drink coffee or tea or matcha or any of it. I just never acquired a taste, which is why I may just feel young in my head, because I still feel like, can I have the Coca-Cola?
Not sure if that's better for you, but got you.
It's not.
Awesome. So would you rather have your own solo song or feature as the protagonist in a dance video? Because I know from your Instagram, you would kill it at both.
Oh, totally solo song. Oh, it's all about me. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, the dance could be about you too. It's just the dance.
Oh, yeah. But then I get to sing and dance.
And dance, and true.
All of it. I mean, true, you know, true. I'll have my like Britney Spears moment.
Yep, that sounds like a plan. So this is probably the toughest question that I could come up with. But if you could only use one product from Brown Skin Beauty for the rest of your life, which would it be? This one, I had a feeling.
Face and body lotion, because I'm obsessed with putting lotion all over my body, like every single day. I've done it since I was younger. And this one can be put on the face as well. So literally step out of the shower, I pump it and I'm like from head to toe. So I'm just like, yeah, this one for life.
Yeah. Awesome. So what's your most favorite and least favorite thing about being the middle child?
My favorite and least favorite is both the same thing, being bullied.
Yeah.
I get bullied and it's funny and then also annoying. So I like it both.
Yeah, it depends. On your Instagram stories, I see it. So, and I know if this is the bullying, the love type of bullying, or the one where you're like, okay, I've had enough, no more, please, type of bullying.
Exactly. And also I like being the black sheep of the family.
Yeah, both worlds. So what is your idea of an ideal vacation? I know now is probably the worst time to ask because of COVID, but.
No, we can all dream.
Yes, one day.
I think it would be the three B's, beaches, bikinis, and my babies. Babies can mean my puppies and my girlfriend. So, you know.
And brown skin beauty. You would take it there, right?
And yes. Brown skin beauty.
No coincidence, it also starts with B.
So, I know. Oh my God. Yes. So yeah. That is my ideal vacation. Oh my God. Any day.
That sounds amazing. And then this is the final one, which is a quote that currently is the most resonant with you.
Oh my God. So wait, I have one that it's my own quote. Mm-hmm. And that has always been love yourself or change till you do. And that meant from the within, you know, exterior, inside, whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of observations that we've done, I think, on ourselves in the last 2 years. And I think everyone's understood mental health is a real thing to take care of. And love yourself or change till you do is, you know, keep at it. You know, it's not an easy process. You know, you'll always go up and down, but, you know, getting there is a choice and that you can make, and you can change things about yourself that make you happier. And so don't stop, you know, that opportunity for yourself. So that's one that I really, really love because, well, I came up with it. And then I Instagrammed one today that I am now officially, this is my second favorite quote in the world. So I'm going to get on Instagram and find it right now because I posted it on my stories. It was by Freddie Birdie. It was on his Instagram. And it said, she loved clothed people who were naked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, what? Yeah. That is like the best thing. That is me. I love people who are just really open about themselves, you know, and like honest and kind and whatever. But I think clothed people who are naked is, wow.
That's way to put it. Yeah. And I know what this episode is going to be called. We're going to use your quote because that's just amazing. And more people need to hear it.
And then there's one more quote, obviously, but I've said it and it's all over our packaging and it's everywhere on the Instagram, on Brown Skin Beauty Official. Whatever your brown, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And that's and okay. I think that's the most perfect way to end the podcast. Couldn't get better than that. Thank you so much again for being here with us. Everyone is super, super inspired. Thank you.
Oh my God. You're inspiring. Look at you, 21 years old and doing all of your thing. So I love it. I love it. Keep going. You're wonderful. Your energy is amazing. And I think you're going to go a really long way. So just go for it.
Thank you so much. If I could show you the emoji, it would be the, do you know which emoji I'm talking about? The one with the glistening eyes.
Yeah,
that would be my reaction. I'm terrible at imitating it, but that's my reaction. Thank you so
that's
much.
Okay. I totally got it. That's my favorite emoji. I send it to my best friend every day because she sends me a whole bunch of memes. Are you and your best friend meme senders to each other? That's what we do. We don't talk anymore. We just like
just memes. Yeah, that's the best form of communication now.
100. But thank you so much, Anushka. And I really appreciate it. And thank you to all of your audience who is listening. I really, really hope that you all kind of check out Brown Skin Beauty and see for yourselves and obviously join the movement in us pioneering this change that is desperately needed in our country, you know, because every shade of our beautiful brown, by the way, everyone finds chocolate such a beautiful palette. That's what we are. True. That's exactly what we are. And I just feel like this is just the beginning. We have a greater story to tell. You know, we're not only beautiful, we're not only delicious, we're sexy, we're all of the things above. And I'm just so grateful that everybody's opening their arms to us and letting us in.
That's the way to be. Hashtag filter free.
Yes.
Perfect.